COVID has upended almost every industry, not least of which the marketing and advertising industry. That's the lifeblood of media in the country. As South Africans adjust to a new reality, lifestyle habits are changing that will in turn impact media habits as well, and businesses are making less money. So it's simple. They're going to be spending less money on advertising. Ad spend has slowed down. Marketing spend is often a direct correlation to sales revenues, and media owners are making less money. The result? Well, they're either offering more discount to get their share of the pie or severe margin protection, where the clamp will come down on clients looking to cut spend. Relationships between media owners, media agencies and clients are going to be tested around the negotiating tables over the next few months. And it's during this time that the focus will also increasingly turn to digital storytelling. And this is where the jockeys in our final entrepreneurial story for this Global Entrepreneurship Week play and certainly have a lot of fun. Zubeda Ghulam is a storyteller at heart with experience at industry giants like Ogilvy, Cape Town and MNC Saatchi Abel. And the co-founder of Brand Truth. Subhash Mbuzwana is Chief Operating Officer of Brand Truth, and Karimi Fundamir, who is Chief Executive of Edge Access, which is their enterprise and supply development partner, a relatively new division of Edge Growth, one of the country's foremost ENSD accelerators. Zubeda, welcome. You've grown revenue 10 times over the last 4 years, so I think fair to say you're a high-growth SME. But just tell us your personal story first, before we get stuck into the business success that you've enjoyed.
Hi, Michael. Thank you so much for having me on your show. My personal story is an interesting one. I think, as you can tell by my name and surname, I have a biracial father. So I'm always having to explain my name and surname. I grew up in pre-apartheid South Africa. So I had to grow up in having to explain myself a lot, why my name is Zubeda Ghulam, and looking the way I am. So I'm as black as the ace of spades, but I have a very Indian name. I've had to go to Indian schools because the government didn't know what to do with me at the time. They were like, we've got this black girl, but she's got an Indian heritage, so I had to go to Indian primary schools. Have always had to explain why the hell I do not look Indian but have this Indian name. I've had to defend my name a lot. I have to walk into doctor's surgeries and, have an Indian woman sitting next to me, and people actually think that the woman sitting next to me is actually Zubeda Ghulam. But cut to how I ended up getting to Brand Truth. I think I've always wanted to get into the creative industry, but really didn't know how to get into it because I studied tourism and travel and tourism, funny enough. hated every bit of it, but loved the marketing aspect of it. And then one day walked into Young and Rubicam and knew that that's just what I wanted to do, you know. And then kind of worked my way into advertising and ended up in the industry. Started Brand Truth in 2016 and just the rest kind of unfolded like that. And that's kind of my personal history. I hope that's interesting enough.
Absolutely. I mean, speaking of travel and tourism, I'm sure you must enjoy the new ads out of Cape Town where they're trying to have a play on being somewhere far away in the world and pretending you're in Bali, and then they zoom out and you're actually in the nicer heads. I actually thought that was a creative bit of advertising. I don't know if you were behind that. But do you, to stay with your personal story a while longer, how do you see that journey of someone who is black African with an Indian name having shaped your view of South Africa and your view towards creativity and being a square peg in a round hole or vice versa? How do you think that shaped your outlook towards your career?
It's interesting because, on my birth certificate, it actually says that it classifies me as other Asian. I don't know what that even means. So race for me is a very confusing thing. I don't even know what race actually means, because it classifies me as something that I know I'm not, you know. It's a very tricky thing. I think South Africa has a long way to go when it comes to race issues, and I think every time we have an outburst and we have things like Brackenfell happening, it very quickly kind of, you know, opens up things or conversations that I think we really need to start having, and we're not having enough of those conversations. The Clicks thing happened recently, and I'm just like, we need to have these conversations. We're not having those robust conversations enough. You know, people don't understand the way, you know, the way our hair actually grows, or the way our hair is naturally growing out of our scalps, and that's something that needs to be communicated a little bit more, or you know, reflected in the way that we communicate in advertising. And I don't think those things are reflected enough, and that they're given enough airtime. And the conversations need to be given time and need to happen.
And therefore, marketing and communications, just to carry on with that point, plays a critical role here, doesn't it? In terms of holding up the mirror to society, to be brave, to be bold, to push the envelope and to have these conversations, to stir the public interest.
Absolutely, absolutely. And these conversations are going to keep, these kind of outbursts are going to keep happening until we actually have these critical conversations. I don't think the platforms are being opened enough. 94 happened 20 odd years ago, and I feel like we just put a blanket over that, like everybody kind of put blinkers on and carried on as if you know we got over it. It doesn't work like that. I think there are critical conversations that still need to happen.
Absolutely.
If you look at America, America is 100 years past slavery, and they're still struggling with things. And you look at that and you're like, we're just 20 years on. Well, and they are nearly 100 years past. And
you could say America is a struggling democracy right now as well, a fragile democracy with what's going on over there. I want to move on to you just quickly and to just find out a little bit more about where you hail from and what's your personal story. I believe you are good friends with Zubeda as well.
Yes, Michael, we've become friends and sisters over the past couple of, well, we've known each other since 2009. I was born in Cape Town, and I think our similarities, we have some similarities with Zeus. I've always wanted to end up in tourism. So my dream was to become the first black female pilot in South Africa. So, you know, through the years, my dad was a caretaker, and my mom was a domestic worker in the little village of Clifton in Cape Town. And there was a lady who stayed there by the name of Jenny Chadwick, and she took me under her wing. I grew up, she was like a second mom to me, and I went to schools there. She made sure that I got into some of the best schools that she could afford at the time. And but unfortunately, life happened, and my dream to become a pilot didn't materialize. So I took a gap year when I finished matric, and my cousin invited me to be an MC on a roadshow. I enjoyed it thoroughly. And I was an MC on a roadshow for quite a while, and got to travel South Africa, which was my dream. And one of the organization's directors attended the roadshow, saw me, liked me, flew me to Johannesburg, offered me a position as a receptionist at an experiential agency. I soon got bored being in reception, expressed my interest to grow within the company. And that soon catapulted my journey from reception to operations to client services, and eventually as the business unit director in a Pan-African sports sponsorship and experiential marketing agency. And I'd like to, you know, like thank that journey, because I don't think if I hadn't been in all those departments, I wouldn't have learned the disciplines that got me to where I am right now, being an entrepreneur and a COO within Brand Truth.
It's so important that, you know, I recently interviewed Chris Skitter, the CEO of Astral, and he started in a very similar journey in the Karoo, selling ostrich feathers, and as a farm manager, and then a farm unit head, and he's worked at every single part of the chicken value chain, all the way up to the CEO office. So a lot of people think, well, you've got to have a qualification and come in as a CA at the top. And I think that is a big myth. Karimi, how did you first come across Brand Truth as Edge?
Yeah, thanks, Michael. Brand Truth joined one of our programs, a program that we're running with SMB about 2 years ago. And in the way we run our programs and select our SMEs, we look for high potential. We look for businesses where there's commitment to invest in what the program requires. And we look for just exciting stories. And I think, you hear from the ladies just the passion they have. You can hear how they're completely committed to growing their business and developing that. And so they stand out really as one of those businesses that once you get them onto a program, you begin to work with them, they completely embrace it. And they have absolutely done that. One of the unique things about them is that there's nothing that they haven't actually taken up in terms of offers. You know, they've done all the projects that they could. You know, they've worked with specialists. It's been incredible. Having worked with them for the last 2 years, I think it's just an exciting story as well when we look at females doing in entrepreneurship, females who are working in a space that has largely been dominated by a certain profile of individual, and they're breaking those barriers and doing it authentically, they're doing it passionately. And yeah, I think the Brand Truth story is just amazing for all those reasons.
Absolutely. Now, Zubeda, the idea to start your own firm, as I said in my introduction, you worked through some pretty big firms, not just Young and Rubicon, MNC, Saatchi and Abel. Mike Abel's just launched his new book as well. So you've had some great mentors through your career. When was that moment, that light bulb moment, that you said, right, I'm going to venture out on my own now and start my own business?
There were many, Michael. So it wasn't, we started the business together with Wayne and Squash, and I think we had about 3 light bulb moments, but the main one was in 2016 when Wayne was like, yo, guys, we've had so many dry runs, because we have a wealth of knowledge in so many different kind of agencies, so it's below the line, above the line, internal agencies, and the light bulb moment, I think, was when Wayne said that he had decided that we had the digital space was starting to take off, and we were just getting into digital and understanding how digital worked, and he believed that this was the time to get into digital. This was 2016, towards the end of 2016, and a certain client there was an opportunity for us to get business from a certain client, and that's when we decided to jump ship from where we were, and we just threw all caution to the wind and jumped ship. And I think there were some restrictions in place in terms of the company that we were working for, so we had to have aliases for some of us in terms of how we were working at the time, so it was a bit complicated. But then just did all that we could do and were very brave and courageous, I think. And just did whatever we could. I remember for the first, I think, 4 months, we worked through the night for 4 months without any kind of rest. And people had no life, basically. And I remember Wayne saying, Zub, at some point in time, we're going to remember this time and think of how we're watching people having braais during December, and we sitting at the office working through the night and seeing how people are having weekends and all of that.
Yeah.
But I mean, it worked out at the end. And I think, you know, as an entrepreneur, you have to really make sacrifices and know that at the end, it really just does pay out.
Subhash, when you look at the early years of building the business, it is still a very young business. I mean, it's only been around for 4 years. But what really stands out for you in terms of some of the innovative campaigns that you worked on that made you realize, right, we're on the right track. This business has got traction. We're going to get the right customers. We're going to be able to grow this into a real asset of value.
So, Michael, I think one of the very first campaigns is the one that actually catapulted Brand Truth, which was the campaign that Zubaydah touched on earlier. And this was how we had to make a bank call to a young audience, an audience that they weren't specifically talking to at that particular time. And for us, it was, you know, as Zubaydah touched on earlier, looking at South Africa and a specific audience, you really have to understand what the insights are. So we went on a very long journey to understand the audience, how to talk to them, how to market to them in this digital world. And the campaign ended up winning us a Twitter award. We actually didn't even use any of the, you know, the noticeable branding from the bank, but we let the audience speak for itself, and we let the audience make the bank cool. And that ended us in a Twitter award, and that just, you know, the following year we were signing contracts with the clients. We got our second client on, our business grew twofold. And that journey just continued to happen. But we've had so many innovations over the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. And right, you know, we are always pushing with our bold clients, what is the next big thing?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not only the client relationships that allow us to do that. It's also our platform partners. There's a lot of work that's been done in the background with the likes of a Facebook, Snapchat, at Dynamo. And they come to us with a lot of the tech that they're developing. And sometimes we go to them and challenge them in terms of what they can do for us. We've had lots of sessions with the at Dynamo team where we actually have to go through London because it's something that they haven't developed yet for our market. But with us pushing those boundaries and seeing what can be done, we develop campaigns. And one of our latest campaigns, we like first. We've had a lot of firsts in our journey, and that's helped us learn and grow, and a lot of firsts in Africa as well. We were the first to do a gamified lens for a bank in Africa. We were the first to do, you know, it was a filter, a world lens through Snapchat as well for the Springboks on their journey to the Rugby World Cup. So we really pride ourselves on the first that we do for our clients, and that drives other clients as well to come on board.
So no shortage of creativity and innovation in the digital space. But Karimi, from a business perspective, when you started working with Brand Truth, what did they need help with in terms of scaling a model like this? Because that really is what Edge specializes in, helping companies achieve 10x growth without all of the wheels coming off at the same time, because that is when a business encounters its most difficult period through that high-scale growth phase. What did you help with at Edge?
No, it's a great question, Michael. And, you know, when we start working with a business, we often recommend that most, when we have a program with a corporate, that we run it for at least 2 years, that we can at least have, you know, 24 months to really to really entrench what the growth journey requires. So the first year is about the fundamentals, and that's exactly how Brand Truth started. We started working on business strategy. We looked at marketing and sales because revenue is obviously a critical part of any business's growth. And then we started looking at their financials and setting up the right KPIs that we could track and monitor. So they had a project where they really looked at their financial systems. They then began to really focus on how they need to shift profits, how they need to monitor their margins, and what are the core drivers of those margins. So that was, you know, year one. And then year two, we then went into the next level. Now that the fundamentals are laid down, let's look at your team, at your culture, at your at how you're performing, and just generally how you're building this to the next level. So they've done a lot of work on the team, personality profiling. They've used a lovely tool that we use called the Contribution Compass. They've used that to first understand themselves as leaders, as the exco, and then they're now using this to inform how the rest of their team is developing and really making that a high-performance team. So you see how the various elements, first entrenching the fundamentals, then really scaling and using the team and understanding of themselves and their market to really move it to the next level.
Speaking of leadership, Zubeda, I mean, you're breaking through all kinds of ceilings, not only in digital and pioneering that, for women entrepreneurs as well. How do you feel that women entrepreneurs in particular are leading the way in the digital marketing industry in South Africa today?
Well, not just in digital marketing, I think in business as a whole. I think entrepreneurship is in our DNA as women in South Africa, you know, whether we're selling quarters or handmade jewelry, you know, we do that with such passion and such integrity, you know. I think as women, our mothers, if we look at our mothers, we look at our grandmothers, they always just go out and make a plan. And it's so encouraging to see how women have done that over the years. Our mothers, our grandmothers, it's like we identify a need, we put passion into that, and we put hard work into that, and, you know, the next thing, we just make magic happen. Digital is no different. I know that digital has been dominated by a certain like Karimi said, it's been dominated by a certain, it's been dominated by males before. We've come in, we've said we want to do this, and we're doing it, and we're doing it really well. And I think in the future, it's not just going to be females, it's going to be a space where where South Africa is just going to dominate, and we're going to just change the continent as a whole. So I think we're going to be a force that's going to be recognized, not just for South Africa, but just for the continent. I'm interested to see how the education sector is going to change the, because I am looking for, I'm currently looking for resource, and resource is a big almost we're troubleshooting within Brand Truth and looking for people. And it's a pool where we're struggling slightly, and we're needing to grow that space.
It's been my absolute pleasure talking to you, finding out a little bit more about your personal stories, and you building Brand Truth into a company that's growing 10 times revenue in the last 4 years. Let's hope you stick to that trajectory over the next four and beyond. And that's where we're going to have to leave it for today. In the room, we had Subhash Mbuzwana, who's the Chief Operating Officer of Brand Truth, along with Zubeda Ghulam, who is the co-founder of Brand Truth, along with Karimi Fundemeyer, who is heading up a new division inside Edge Access, sharing their story. And I don't know about you, but I've been left this week, this Global Entrepreneurship Week, filled with a lot of hope that South Africa is on the right path. If you just block your ears to all the political noise, there are entrepreneurs of real passion and grit and determination and innovation and creativity. We just need to ensure that we can create an environment for those entrepreneurs to get on with it, and hopefully government does do exactly that, as the President has promised to do, ease doing business and let the entrepreneurs fly.